Of what do you think upon hearing the term grace? Well, do not think of a doctrine, and do not think of an attitude. Let grace remind you of God's movement of mercy toward you. Man is a creature of time. He divides his existence into the dimensions of time. He has a past, experiences a present, and desires a future. It is to his great comfort that he learns the grace of God is beyond the scope of time, that the same grace of God which has been sufficient in a man's past is sufficient in his present and is also sufficient for all of his future. So let us learn an important truth. The grace of God is continual in its duration. It never wears out, is not exhausted, nor fails in its resources. It is safe to trust the Lord God, for His grace endures forever. No wonder the psalmist wrote, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." The grace of God has been sufficient through all past circumstances. Every dealing God has ever had with man was an expression of grace. He created the world as an act of grace. He shared fellowship with mankind in the Garden of Eden because of His grace. He withheld judgment on fallen man as an expression of grace. He gave the promise of a coming Savior and a ritual of sacrifices to demonstrate the Savior's redeeming deed because of His grace. He gave His own Son to be the vicarious sacrifice for sinners as the greatest demonstration of grace. He called sinners to Himself in all generations past that they might receive forgiveness according to the magnitude of His grace. Indeed, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Grace upon top of grace. That's the way John 1:16 describes God's vast relationship with those who trust Him. The greatest expression of His grace has been in what He has provided mankind through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came and dwelt among men, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Salvation is but the introduction to God's grace, for the whole Christian life is a continual expression of God's grace to man. The Apostle Paul, for instance, looked upon his work as a missionary evangelist as an expression of God's grace. So he wrote to the Corinthian Christians, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon." He looked back to the introduction of the gospel witness into Corinth, which resulted in the establishment of that church, and said it was by the grace of God that he was permitted to be the witness. Now, God's grace is expressed far beyond the experience of salvation, for every act of service is by His grace. The grace of God is sufficient in all present circumstances. The Apostle Paul testified, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." The present is provided by the grace of God just as much as the past. The present circumstances are no more beyond His grace than were the past. Oh yes, the grace of God is sufficient in all present circumstances. The grace of God exercises a present, protecting, stabilizing ministry in the life of the Christian. Hebrews 13:9 reads, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein." Now the text recognizes this divine principle, that man's life will be governed by laws of the Spirit or by the lusts of the flesh. For the heart to be controlled by the flesh means it will be carried about with divers and strange doctrines and will know little real profit. But for the heart to be controlled by the Spirit means it will be stable, not carried about with various doctrines, and will know true profit. So it is better, obviously, for the life to be governed by grace, to be governed by God. The true victory is possible only to the person who lives in the grace of our God. So submission to God is the key to the knowing of the grace of God. Simon Peter wrote of that principle of submission in 1 Peter 5:5, saying, "Likewise, ye youngers, submit yourselves unto the elder. A, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now note that distinction in the attitude of God. He resists the proud and graces the humble. Why? Pride acknowledges no need of God, while humility acknowledges a great need. Pride puts man on his own and leads to sin, while humility turns man toward God and keeps him in the way of righteousness. Pride dares to assume the place of God, while humility recognizes the sovereignty of God. Therefore, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Someone has expressed it this way: all I have seen teaches me to trust God for all I have not seen. In the context of this study, that means the past and the present teaches us to trust God for all of the future. Here, then, is the third consideration: that the grace of God is sufficient for all future circumstances. What a strength that gives to the heart! Man is living in increasingly perilous times. There is no way to know when the next international crisis will erupt. There is no way to know when the next war will break out. There is no way to know how man can solve the energy crisis, or break the spiral of inflation, or curb the spread of drug abuse, or subdue the flood tide of crime, or any other of a multitude of problems. Man does not know, and his lack of knowledge makes him uncertain and fearful. But man's circumstances do not thwart nor exhaust God's grace. The grace of God is sufficient for all future needs. Some wise person has expressed the truth this way: I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. So the psalmist looked at his past and declared, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. He looked at the present and testified, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He looked at the future and announced, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God has always been a God sufficient for all circumstances of the past, the present, and the future. The Apostle Paul closed his epistle to the Ephesians with this benediction: Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. For grace to be with all who love Him means that grace will be with believers in all generations. Grace was with Paul and his fellow believers. Grace is with those who trust Jesus today. Grace will be with those who trust Him in the time between this moment and the end of the age. The grace of God is always with the people of God. Of what do you think upon hearing the term grace? Well, do not think of a doctrine, and do not think of an attitude. Let grace remind you of God's movement of mercy toward you. Grace is God doing for you according to your need and His sufficiency, totally apart from your personal merit. To say God's grace is sufficient for all situations of the past, the present, and the future means that God is committed to provide personally for you through all of your life. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly.